Let's turn in our Bibles today to Mark chapter 7. I've been bringing messages to us for several months now from the Gospel of Mark on Sunday morning. And we've come now to Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. The title of the message this morning is A Crumb from His Table. A Crumb from His Table. I'm sure that for this woman, the reality was that this was much more than a crumb to her. That is, the Lord Jesus casting this devil out of her daughter. It was much more than a crumb to her. It was a wonderful blessing. A blessing that she could not believe could come from anyone other than the Lord Jesus. Now, in looking at this passage today, it's going to help us to read the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 15. So let's turn there, if we will, to Matthew chapter 15 and read this account in this gospel. Matthew 15 and beginning in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I brought a message from this passage several months ago, and I mentioned in that message that I had heard of a sermon preached by my friend back in the 1980s, and it was entitled, All Dogs Go to Heaven. I had never heard the message, but the next morning on my phone, Zach, your dad had been watching or hearing the streaming, and he had searched and found that message and sent it to me. And I was so thankful because I wasn't sure what passage of Scripture he preached that sermon from. But someone told me later there was some kind of an advertisement at that time about dog food. And in that advertisement, it said, All dogs go to heaven. And Brother Henry took that and this passage of Scripture and brought a wonderful message of God's saving grace. All dogs go to heaven. The thing about the Word of God, as I said, I preached from this passage in Matthew a few months ago, but the thing about the Word of God, and this is what you find as a pastor or as a believer, you find that you never exhaust God's Word. Any other book, I mean, you take any book on medicine, book on chemistry, any other book, and study it for 50 years, and it would become old. It would become so stale, and you'd be so tired of it, and you'd hate to think, I've got to preach from that book once again. But this book, God's Word, this book is alive, and it never grows old. And so the message I'm bringing to us today, yes, it's from the same passage, but the message is much different. And I have three parts I want to bring out to us. If you want to turn back to Mark, I have three parts in the message. And the first part I want to mention is the Lord, we are told, goes to the borders. He goes to the very borders of the Gentiles, to Tyre and Sidon. He did not go into Tyre or Sidon. He did not go into the land of the Gentiles, but he went right to the very border of the Gentiles. Several weeks ago, when we were studying from this book of Mark, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ chose 12 apostles and sent them out to preach the gospel, and he commanded them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. That was his command. They were to minister only in the land of Israel. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles. So the Lord Jesus Christ, now, he did not go into the way of the Gentiles, but he goes just up to the border of the territory where there was a line of separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. And then in another message after that, we saw that the Lord led his disciples away by ship, and he said, let's go to a place where you may rest, that we might rest a while. And of course, the people outran him. And when the Lord Jesus Christ stepped off that ship, he went by ship and they went by land. And when he stepped off the ship, what he saw was a great multitude of people. And the scripture says he saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. And so there's no rest. There's no rest in the providence of God. He begins to minister to this multitude of people. And that's when he fed the 5,000 men, not including the women and children. Mark tells us now, in going to the borders of the Gentiles, he entered into a house, and you notice it says he would have no man know it. He went into this house, and he would have no man know it. Now, we may suppose that once again, he has gone aside that they might rest a while. But as Mark tells us here, he could not be hid. He could not be hid. Before, it was the multitudes who met him. But this time, it's a single woman, a Greek, a Gentile. And I would just take the opportunity here to remind us that our Savior is sufficient to minister to and to meet the needs of the many, the thousands, and yes, to the single ones, to the one, as to this woman. Nothing is too large and nothing is too small for him. You know that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, to believers, we are exhorted casting your care upon him. It doesn't say casting your big cares upon him. It doesn't say casting your small cares upon him. No, it just says your care. Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's what I see here, first of all, that this woman, she comes and he couldn't be healed. The Lord Jesus, who healed many of diseases. You read through the Gospels and you see that many were brought to him who were sick of all kinds of diseases. Blind people, lame people, deaf people, just everything you can think of. People were brought to him and he healed them all. He never had to advertise his healing. He never had to advertise his healing. Neither did his disciples, to whom he gave the gift of healing. And yes, there was a gift of healing that the apostles had. You say, well, is that in the church today? No. There are no apostles here today. Does God heal? Of course he does. All healing is of the Lord. We know that. But my point is, the Lord Jesus Christ himself and all of his apostles and those they laid their hands on, they received these gifts as well. But only those the apostles laid their hands on. You read through the book of Acts, this is very clear. But they never had to advertise that they were going to be in a certain place at a certain time, that they were going to have a healing service. Sometimes I see on these church buildings, you know, healing service on Tuesday night. Or healing MD Anderson Hospital is one of the best hospitals, cancer hospitals in the world, I assume. But I see that they advertise. They advertise. Methodist Hospital, they advertise. They're leading. They're leading in medicine, Daniel. That's what they say. The Lord Jesus Christ never had to advertise that he was going to heal, nor did his disciples. And that should convince us right there that there's no one today that has the gift that the apostles had to heal. Because if there were, the poor man, he couldn't rest. People would be at his door no matter where he went. People would be there seeking healing because people come from all over the world to the Houston Medical Center seeking healing. And if a person had that gift like the Lord, the power that the Lord Jesus Christ himself had, because he is God, and the power that he gave to his apostles to heal, there would be no need to advertise. Look with me, if you will, in Acts chapter 5. And I encourage you to read through the book of Acts. And when you read about these miracles, see that it's always the apostles. Now, people would have us believe that these gifts are still in the church, that everyone has these gifts. That's not so. Bible doesn't teach that. They were here for a specific purpose for a certain time. But here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Now notice, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. They didn't have to advertise. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Every one. The Lord goes to the borders of the Gentiles, and we see that he could not be hid. And I just take this opportunity to remind us once again that if a person had the gift of healing today, you wouldn't have to look for them. Everybody would be headed in that direction who's sick. That's just so. Now, second, I want us to consider the experience of this woman. And I'm not going to call your attention to Matthew and then back to Mark and Mark and then back to Matthew. But I'm going to point out to us what I see and what is evident in both of these two narratives, both the narrative in Matthew and in Mark. And that is that this woman met with three denials. She came to the Lord and she met with three denials. First, she came to the Lord in the house. She fell at his feet and she besought him to cast the devil out of her daughter. He answered her not a word. That's the first denial. He answered her not a word. Let's camp there just a moment. He answered her not a word. Where would you be? Where would I be? Where would we be today if we did not have the Word of God? Where would we be? You know, I was thinking about Herod, King Herod, the man who executed John the Baptist. When the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, and the priest took him before Pilate, and just as soon as Pilate heard that he was from Galilee, he recognized, well, that's Herod's place. He's in charge of that place. Well, Pilate sent the Lord Jesus Christ to Herod. And Herod, the Bible says, he was happy to see him. He thought he was going to see some miracle. And he questioned him. The Lord answered him not a word. That's what the Bible said. The Lord answered him nothing. Could your situation be any worse? Could it? Could your situation, my situation, ever be any worse if God does not speak to us? He doesn't have to. He doesn't speak to everyone. Now, I realize He speaks to us through His Word, and so all of us here today, we have the written Word of God. But only God, the Holy Spirit, is able to take this written Word and make it effectual in our hearts. Oh, I'm a preacher. I can talk, I can speak, and I can speak to the outward ear. But only God can speak to the heart. This woman came and she bowed down and she besought him to cast the devil out of her daughter. And he answered her not a word. Denial number one. Now the second denial, she followed crying after him and his disciples in the way. Now, the disciples, they asked the Lord to send her away. No doubt, give her what she's asking for. Do what she's asking for. But just send her away. And the Lord spoke and He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the second denial. She cried after them in the way. And yet the Lord said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let's think about those words just a moment. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was sent. He was sent. The Scriptures, He said that. John chapter 3 and verse 17, he said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The world was already condemned. In fact, that next verse reveals to us the world was condemned from the beginning in our head, that is in Adam. When Adam sinned, the world became under condemnation, all the world, no exceptions. He did not come into this world to condemn the world. He was not sent into this world to condemn the world. Let me show you a verse in 1 John, if you will. 1 John chapter 4. He was sent. He was sent into this world. But he told this woman, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." First John, if you will, chapter 4. I want to read two verses here, verse 9 and 10. "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, when we read that he was sent, this, of course, reminds us that he came into this world as the servant of Jehovah, God's servant. He was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. What then do his words here mean when he says, "I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel"? In his office work, we know as a mediator, he has three offices. He's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. Now, in his office as priest, he was sent into this world to be the propitiation for our sins, not just for the elect people among the Jews, but even among the Gentiles, because there's only one propitiation, one sacrifice that satisfied God for the sins of his people. But as in his office as prophet, he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, you find this also in Romans chapter 15, when Paul tells us, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a preacher. He was a minister of the circumcision, that is to the Jews, for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." So we would say in his office work as priest, he was sent to redeem his lost sheep among every kindred and tribe and people. But as prophet, in his ministry as a prophet, he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His ministry, as far as preaching, was not among the Gentiles. Now, later, of course, we recognize, and thank God he sent his disciples into all the world, not just among the Jews. But the first time he sent them out, he told them not to go into the way of the Gentiles. He was a minister of the circumcision, that is, of the Jews. Here's the third denial. "She came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" Here's the third denial. He said, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs." Now, it's clear, that by children, he's referring to the Jews, the children. Unto them pertained the adoption. On the children, he's referring to the dogs, he's referring to Gentiles. And that was a common way that the Jews addressed all Gentiles. If you were not a Jew, as far as they were concerned, you were a dog, a Gentile dog. And our Lord used the same language here. I don't think he was speaking reproachfully of any nationality, but he was using the common language that the Jews use. The children refer to the Jews, the dogs refer to the Gentiles, the bread. He said, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. The bread, of course, represents the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the bread of life. In John chapter 6, he said, he's the true bread which came down from heaven to give life unto the world. In that same passage, he said, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life eternal. If you look in John chapter 6, let me point this out because sometimes people do not fully understand what it means to come to Christ, to eat his flesh and drink his blood. You come to Christ by believing on Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To receive Christ, to come to Christ, to feed on Christ, these are all words that are saying the same thing, and that is by faith. By faith, we believe, we trust in him. How do we eat his flesh and drink his blood? By faith. Not by some ordinance, not by taking the Lord's Supper, not by eating bread and wine or anything like that. No. By trusting in him as all our salvation, as our Savior. We eat his flesh and drink his blood. And we don't do that just one time. We don't do it just one time a week. When God reveals your need and you're hungry, what do? You eat. And God's people are always hungry. We're always needy. We're always needy. Why? Because we live in a body that still has the nature of sin. So she met this third denial. It's not meat, he said. Let the children first be filled, for it is not meat to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. You know, the gospel was first preached to the Jews. Even when the Apostle Paul wrote the letter of Romans, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel was preached to the Jews first. The bread was for the children first. Not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She might have reasoned. I said she might have reasoned. She might have reasoned, then when is my time coming? If first the bread goes to the children and then to the dogs, and you're referring to me as a dog, as a Gentile, when does my time come? But no, she didn't do that, did she? She had a need, an urgent need. Her daughter was possessed of a devil. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, let the children be filled first, he didn't put a period then. He didn't end his sentence then. Let the children be filled first. But he continued, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. Truth, Lord. Yea, Lord. That's true. Yet. Even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall. Now notice, from their master's table. Yes, he's the master of the children, but he's also the master of the dogs. In other words, he's God Almighty. He's Lord over all. And Lord, All I need is a crown. Now, the only way when she called him Lord, Lord, help me, she said in that title that she recognized that he had the power to grant her request. And what would seem like a crumb to him, it's like if you were tipping, say you were at a restaurant and you were tipping the waitress, she'd given you good service, and your bill, let's say, was $35, and you give her a $100 tip. What if Bill Gates was there? Now, Bill Gates, he could give her $10,000 tip, right? And probably wouldn't miss that as much as you would the $100. She recognized that just a crumb from his table because of who he is. That's all I need. Now, if it was anyone else's table, I'd need a whole loaf of bread. And then they couldn't help me. But saying who you are, just a crumb. The dogs eat the crumbs, just a crumb. Great, our Lord, great is thy faith, O woman. You know, the Lord, we read, he only was amazed at two things. He was amazed at this woman's faith, and he was amazed at the unbelief of the Jews. Two things. He was amazed at the unbelief, and he was amazed at faith. Both times that he called people or said they had great faith, they were Gentiles. This woman and a centurion later on, they were Gentiles, and yet they had great faith. You know, it should be the easiest thing in the world to believe. Right? To believe God. He cannot lie. He cannot fail. He's never going to make a promise that he cannot make good. Should be the easiest thing in the world to believe. But faith is a gift of God. Faith comes from God. This woman believed God, and she had her need met. Just a crumb, that's all. Now let me say hurriedly, there's another part of my message. There's three obvious lessons about prayer. Number one, there is what we call importune prayer. That means we continue to pray. If this woman had stopped after the first denial, her daughter would not have been depossessed of the devil. No, but she came a second time. She came a third time. And when we pray, our Lord gave several parables showing us when you ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking, there is importunate prayer. And then there's also intercessory prayer. You notice when she came, the devil didn't possess her. The devil was in her daughter, but when she approaches the Lord, it is, Lord, help me. Intercessory prayer. She prayed for her daughter just like she was the one. And there's submission in prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ, and this is our example as in all things, when he prayed, he said, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There is submission in prayer. And then lastly, there's sovereignty, God's sovereignty in prayer. This woman came three times. I could not help but think that the Apostle Paul tells us that he had a thorn in his flesh, and he besought the Lord three times that the thorn be removed. And God said, no. No. Now, God answered his prayer. My grace is sufficient for you. This woman, she came three times. and the Lord granted her request. God is sovereign in all things, and He's certainly sovereign in the way that He answers our prayers. And that's part of being submitted to Him, isn't it? Not my will, but Thy will be done. I pray that the Lord would bless these thoughts and words to all of us here today. If you get nothing else, get this. Your problem, no matter what it is, not too little, it's not too big. Casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We're going to sing this hymn number 242, and then we'll be dismissed.